Good morning. Welcome to Village Baptist Church. We're so pleased that you could all join us today and for everyone worshiping online with us as well. Before we jump into announcements, let's take a couple of moments, stand up, stretch our legs, greet each other, say good morning with a hug, a handshake, high five, whatever you prefer, and then we'll come back together. Right, we have a number of announcements today. The first, of course, is about a meeting. Church Council is meeting on Thursday at 7 o'clock on Zoom. And very important announcement, we are having the Pastor Search Committee Town Hall November 19th after worship service. That's going to be the next step in the process that we're going through to hear from the congregation what we all feel we need to look for in our new pastor. So we really hope that you all can join us there. The hunger banks will be collected also on November 19th, and there are hunger banks available in the narthex for people to pick up today after worship, so you can have those ready for the 19th. Very exciting, Village Baptist has a new Instagram handle for all of those who might spend a little too much time on Instagram. Not saying myself, but maybe. The new handle is Village Baptist of Bowie. So please give us a follow on social media if you are on there as well. The quarterly business meeting is going to be next Sunday after worship. And if you have moved, or if you have a new phone number or an email address, please send changes to Nanette. Her email address is up there on the screen. It's secretary@villagebaptistbowie.org. And there are also a few proof copies of the directory in the narthex if you just want to flip through and see if your information is up to date. And also, we have an insert in the bulletin today about the Thanksgiving feast. Please go ahead and sign up for that. It's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship. This is the day that the Lord has made.
And if you'll stand and join me as we sing, put it on the music. There you go.
Through the blood of your Good morning. You should all be well rested. You've had an extra hour. Government has given back the hour they stole from us last spring. Cosmic balance has been restored. So it's good to be together to worship. This is All Saints Day that we're celebrating today, a day when we remember the saints who have gone on before us, but hopefully a day when we come to understand that you don't have to die to be a saint. So we're glad that you're here this morning. Each week we spend time at the beginning of worship sharing our blessings and concerns. Those of you who are worshiping with us online need to know that the sound is going to be muted while these concerns are shared. But then at the conclusion of that sharing, the sound will return and you'll be able to pray with us. So, church, what's on your hearts this morning? Okay. Well, thank you all for sharing. Let's unite our hearts in prayer together. Loving God, we remember with thanks all those saints who have gone before us, who have loved us and shared the faith with us and modeled what it means for us to be followers of yours. And we give thanks and remember because in the remembering we realize that we're not here on our own efforts. We're here because of the gifts of others and by your grace. And we worship in a beautiful sanctuary built by others. We sing hymns that others have written, and we sing from books others have purchased, and we live in faith because of the convictions of others, and we live in hope because of the prayers that have been offered on our behalf. And so we're just grateful for all these gifts today. We pray that you would strengthen us and help us to live in such a way that others might profit from the examples we set. Lord, give us grace to live faithfully so that others might see our lives and want to follow because they see some of your light shining in and through us. Our hearts are burdened by the illnesses and grief of loved ones. You have heard the concerns that have been raised here this morning. We ask a measure of your grace for each one and their need. We hear the news of war and disaster and catastrophe. For all those situations in the world in which pain and anger and violence dominate, we pray again today for peace in our world, in our nation, and in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. Open our hearts to receive your word of hope and challenge that we might truly be your people for such a day as this. We ask these things in the name and spirit of our Lord, who taught us in praying to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
for the children's story. Unless I'm deceived. All right. Anybody else? Okay. I always feel like when the Price is Right, where they would say, come on down. We had a family from Liverpool that would visit us several summers in a row. And it was just my mom and I, and they would share the house with us. And they loved the Price is Right. They would just be crying, watching the people coming down, losing their minds as they came down the aisle. So part of me still keeps thinking that there's going to be kids or adults or running down the aisle whenever I get up here. But anyways, enough about that. So what holiday just passed? Yes. Halloween, yes. Yes, of course, Halloween. How could I have forgotten Halloween? So what did you do for Halloween? Trick-or-treat? Eat candy? Yeah, that's a big one. What did your doll? You have an interesting doll there. She's kind of got a happy look on her face. Is that because she's been eating candy? What's your doll's name?
Elizabeth Joe.
I can see. Yeah, Joe. And did she go to a party with the other dolls? Sometimes people do that for Halloween. No doll parties. What about costumes? Did y'all wear any costumes? No, what was your costume?
Aurora.
Well, you have to remember who that's from. What movie? Is that a Disney movie? Which one is that? Oh, Sleeping Beauty, yes, of course. Sleeping Beauty. And what about you, Jordan? You what? Okay, I don't have a good memory. Anyways, okay. A werewolf, that's right. Now I remember. I do remember that now that you gave me a little tease hint. So what was the best thing that you received, like a trick-or-treating thing, or thing that you did during Halloween? Okay. Yeah, it's always like the thing, like, when you come back from trick or treating, do you like dump all the candy on the table and start dividing it up? No. Well, I mean, not separating it out. I'm just saying like this is this pile and like all your candy, but still, like Ruby organizes her candy. You used to, okay, but not anymore because you're older. Now it's boring. Yes. Yeah, we'd be a big group of us and we would all get around the tables and the parents would go in the other room and. And have whatever talk and stuff or whatever, leave us in their big rumpus room sort of environment, and we would just pour our candy out on the table, and then that's when the trading would start. It was like the stock exchange or something. We'd get like, I'll give you, I got two Baby Ruths, and I've got a Reese's Cup, and anyways, that was half the fun of it. So, what is Halloween about? What are the things we talked about? Well, fun, candy, in costumes, and when you were out trick-or-treating, your dolls were probably having a party, so parties. Do you know where the name Halloween comes from? Yes. That's right, All Hallows Eve, exactly. Sometimes people don't realize that, in fact, at least the name of Halloween comes from All Hallows Eve, which is a religious, what was that? Yeah, so that was something that kind of got mixed in with that. Yeah, all these other things outside of like our Christian holiday got mixed in with it a little bit. Some people feel they took it too far when they got a little bit too much. Other people thought it was just kids having fun. They would pretend like they were giving them candy so that the kids, the evil spirits, the little kids in costumes, wouldn't do something. So that's up to people how they see it. But yes, it's All Hallows Eve. It's the first day of a three-day celebration. We don't think about this all as much, but it's All Hallows Eve, because Eve is the night before, like Christmas Eve. So the next day is All Hallows Day, or All Saints Day. Hallows is an old-fashioned term for that. All the people we have, the hallowed people, the saints. And then the next day is All Souls Day, which is basically everybody else. So we're kind of, there's 3 days. the point is that Pastor Joel talked about this, but it's all souls, all saints, celebration of everybody who's come before. And we already have like holidays. Can you think of some saints' days that we have? St. Patrick's Day, yes. And what about the guy in the red suit? Yes, St. Nick. That's right, St. Nick. I asked that one time, and kids said a different one in a red suit, but that was not what I meant. It celebrates this. So All Saints Day and All Souls Day, between the two of them collectively, they celebrate everybody that's come before. And we remember all the people who, especially like our family and people we're close to that have died. So, you know, it used to be like All Saints was just about the saints, but now a lot of people feel like saints, well, you call it All Saints or All Souls. It's about all the people that we remember from the past, especially people who, you know, people that were special to us. So I want to do a little demonstration. I'm probably going to need a little help here. Let me see. So what do you think we mean when we say all? So I have here Jenga. Well, it's generic Jenga, but it's Jenga. Okay, so they didn't want to copyright and all that stuff. Let's think about what all means, okay? Let me do this so we don't get all the noise in here. It's a popcorn bowl. So, do you think that this means all? Is that all? What about this? Is that all? Okay. Is that all? Oh, I missed one or two, didn't I? So, is that all? Yes. So when we say all, when it comes to Jenga blocks, but also people, when we say all saints or all souls, we really are talking about celebrating all souls. And do you know why we celebrate all souls, all the saints, all the people that have come before? One thing about everybody, they're all important. And sometimes in the church, we have a way of saying that. We say they're children of God, but it's exactly what you're saying. They're all important. And so, whether you're a saint or no one's designated you a saint, we're all important because we're all important to God. So now that we are have the Sunday and we've had our candy and things like that, whatever, doll parties, whatever. I don't know why I keep thinking about doll parties, but it's just a day for us to kind of remember, not in a sad way, but in a celebration way, all the people who've come before us, especially those that we were close to. So it's just a Sunday for us to think about those people and celebrate, like I said. So maybe a special memory you might have had with like a grandparent or someone or an older person in your life who was not, you're not related to them, but they were kind of like an informal uncle or cousin. It's just to remember to celebrate them today. And to remember that one of the things that we have assurance of from Jesus is that we will actually see those people again someday. It'll be a while, you know. But there will come a day when we will pass on. And when we do that, those same people will be up there that we're remembering will be up there with us in heaven. And if we're lucky, they might have some candy. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what a candy looks like in heaven, but something good, whatever the treats are there. So God, let's say a prayer. God, thank you for bringing us together in this time. Our time together is especially important in the church because our children are the future of our church, and they're each one special children of God. And so we feel that talking to them and understanding them and teaching them is especially important to us in this church. It's one of the key things we do in this service. So I would pray that you would be with us, that you would help us to celebrate all the people that came before us, and that we would enjoy those memories. Amen. All right.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Thank you, Casey. I love that song. All right, today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 and 15 through 23. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father in glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word.
Will you pray with me? Oh God, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for love of you. Amen. I suspect that not many Baptists appreciate All Saints' Day that much. As Darian said, All Saints' Day is the day after All Hallows' Eve, Halloween. And remembering the saints and dedicating a specific day to the saints has been a Christian tradition since the 4th century. Probably most of us here could not even name that many saints, but I want to think with you this morning about who the saints are and what saints do. I think most of us carry some notion of what a saint is. For many of us, as Darian said, a saint is someone who's passed on that we remember, a hero or a heroine of the past. Maybe we think of a saint as someone who lives a flawless life, or who does good things for God, or maybe has performed some type of miracle. I want to suggest to you this morning that that definition may need to be expanded a bit. I remember a story told by Lois Wilson, who is the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, about a little boy who came to her front door on Halloween. He was about 4 years old. He was just cute as a button. And he was wearing a Superman costume. And he reached out his hand and he said, "Trick or treat." And Mrs. Wilson looked at his open palm and she said, "Where's your bag?" And he said, "My mom has it. It's too heavy for me to carry." And Mrs. Wilson said, "But you're Superman." And the little boy looked at the big S on his chest and he looked at Mrs. Wilson and he whispered, "Not really. These are my pajamas." But the notion persists that saints are kind of flawless spiritual heroes and superstars of the faith who can do things that most of us can only imagine. But I'm here to tell you, saints were far from perfect. You think back, Moses was a murderer. Abraham palmed off his wife as his sister. Jacob, another of God's saints, cheated his brother Esau. David had an affair with Bathsheba. The disciples denied Christ and pretended that they never knew him. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. St. Augustine was a man of loose living, it said. We could go on and on. So, is a saint someone who has never said a mean word or never taken the Lord's name in vain? Is a saint someone who has never had an impure thought or expressed anger or who has no idea what wine tastes like? Or comes to church 6 out of 7 days? If that's what a saint is, I'm relatively certain we don't have a single saint in the sanctuary this morning, clergy included. But the definition of a saint, that definition of a saint, does not correspond with the biblical definition of what a saint is. I wonder if you read, if you noticed as Julia read, the Apostle Paul addresses his letter to whom? To the saints in Ephesus. And later he addresses his letter to the saints in Corinth. And then to other churches he addresses in his epistles. The fact is, we are all saints. We may not feel like it. We may not feel like we're worthy of that designation, but it's true nonetheless. So when you leave here today, you can say, Well, good morning, St. Carlin. Good morning, St. Julia. Good morning, St. Judy. Listen, the New Testament writers recognize this. St. Peter, for example, designated all followers of Christ as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Those are all synonyms for saints. 60 different times, the New Testament refers to Christians as saints. So make no mistake, a saint is what we become. The moment we are baptized, we're followers of Christ, channels of his love and light. Now, at best, most of us probably feel like we have that small S on our chest, not that big S. But the fact is, biblically speaking, a saint is one of those people who is committed to God, someone who is set apart, who either decides or feels called to serve God, however imperfectly, to make a difference in the world. They're all the baptized people before us, and all the people who follow God today. To put it just another way, saints include people on both sides of the grave. Now, how do saints make a difference in the world? You know, you really can't own that name saint if you don't do anything with your faith, if you just sit still and don't do anything. But that's not the case for genuine saints. Paul says in the 15th verse here, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Saints are those of faith who love people, who in moments when people need love or a helping hand or a gentle touch, they are there for them. When I think about the people in my life who have been saints to me, I remember how they loved me. I remember how they cared for me, how they shared a laugh or a tear with me. I remember how they encouraged me along the way. I think today of Sunday school teachers. I think of my parents. I think of a church history professor who guided me through challenging days in seminary. I think of a senior pastor who became my mentor, my best friend in the world. People I remember are those like a group in my former church who would encourage me and pray for me every Sunday morning prior to worship. There was one woman who would greet me at the door every week, and she'd say, "Hey, I really appreciated that sermon," even when she knew and I knew it was a clunker. But I was so grateful to her for making me feel like she wanted me to be her pastor. We had a woman that loved to gift people with cakes. If you had a birthday, if you had an anniversary or some other important event in your life, you got a cake. Well, Terry and I both have February birthdays, and we have a February anniversary, and Valentine's Day is in February, and sometimes we got four cakes. Now, I like cake, but that is too much of a good thing. But what we remember is how she touched our lives, impacted our lives. And you know, when we remember saints in our lives, it can be very moving because they have loved us and they have influenced us in some way or in many ways. And because of their faithfulness to God, they've touched our lives. We'll never forget that, and that's a good thing. Mary Schifers has written these words: "Thinking or remembering people and how they love us or how they have loved us can inspire us to love more fully. Thinking of those who lived humbly or mercifully can remind us that we too can live humbly and show mercy. And I think she's on target there. How often I've been inspired by those who love and serve. Sometimes even when they were going through difficult times and places in their lives, some loss or disappointment, I've been inspired by those who are genuinely pure in heart. Have you met people like that? Genuinely pure in heart. And I long to be like them, even though they didn't see themselves as being any different than any of us. I've been inspired by those who build homes for others, by those who are saddened by the cruelties and atrocities they see every day, and yet they keep on keeping on to make the world a better place. I've been inspired by those who mentor students, or those who seek justice and fairness for all of God's people. I've even been inspired by the man who was an usher for over 60 years. I could name dozens more. And we give thanks and praise for those here at Village Baptist who have inspired and shaped our lives through their faithfulness. How different our lives would be were it not for those saints on both sides of the grave who loved and hugged and cared for us, who shared stories of the faith with us, who corrected us sometimes, held us accountable sometimes, but we knew they were there for us. Thank you, God, for all those people who loved you and loved people in your name. But I don't want to give short shrift to those people who have gone on before us, whose lives also impacted us and shaped us so that we're never the same again. To that extent, at least, they live on in us, in our memories and in the respect we hold for them, the love we feel for them. They weren't perfect, but they did all they could to follow God with courage and faith. So what happens to them? Darian alluded to it earlier. What about those who, as the hymn says, from their labors rest? Well, saints on the side of this side of the grave become saints on the far side of the grave. And Paul identifies this glorious inheritance of his saints in the heavenly places. Paul identifies that in Corinthians as death swallowed up in victory. They go to another place, a new life, a place where there is no more sorrow or pain or death or tears. We don't know where that is. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what it feels like. Are they still alive? I don't have the answer for that, but the Christian faith does. Again, in Corinthians we read, we know, not we think, not we imagine, not we dream. We know that when this earthly tent is destroyed, we have a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. We're told this much, that beyond this life is a life that death cannot take away, the glorious inheritance of the saints in heavenly places. And this is our home, hope. A little boy visited a great cathedral with his grandfather, and he saw these beautiful stained glass windows in the sanctuary. The light was brightly shining through them. And it depicted saints of the church, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, many others. And when he got home, he was telling his mom and his dad about what he had seen, and his dad was curious, and he said, "Son, what is a saint?" The little boy thought for a moment, and then he said, "A saint is someone that the light shines through." All Saints' Day is about remembering those who have let the light shine through their lives. We celebrate those who have preceded us, the ones for whom their labors rest. All Saints' Day is about remembering that when this earthly journey is over, for those we love, and even one day for us, there is a glorious inheritance in heavenly places. And it's about those saints who right now let the light shine through, who despite their imperfections, maybe despite only wearing a small S, are still passionate about loving God's people, making the world a better place. We give thanks for the unbroken stream of saints in this church's history who have allowed the love and light of Christ to stream through their lives. Beth Nielsen Chapman, an American singer and songwriter, penned these words: "Life has taught me this, every day is new, and if anything is true, all that matters when we are through is how we are loved." So to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Village Baptist who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are about to share the Lord's Supper together. And on this day, I'd like us to take just a moment to remember the saints, past and present, the ones we carry in our hearts. And I want to invite you to name them out loud. First name, first and second name, it doesn't matter. Just want to take a moment to remember some of the saints. Who are the saints to you? Thank you for sharing. This is a day for remembering. Today we also remember our Lord Jesus. On this table are simple elements of bread and juice, reminders of who he is and what he did. I invite you to the table today because you know God loves you, because you believe Christ died for you. Will you bow with me in prayer? Gracious God, we do give thanks for all your saints, past and present, who have done justice and loved mercy and walked humbly with you. May we continue to walk in their examples of faith and love. May we continue their legacy of walking in your way, so that generations to come may find us worthy to be saints in your kingdom. We come remembering our Lord today. Help us to eat and drink, recognizing that this bread and cup are precious reminders of the one we are called to follow. Come into our hearts, Lord, and fill us with your love in these moments. Bless us by your Spirit, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. On the night when Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." Take and eat in remembrance of him.
in the same way, took the cup, prayed, and said, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this, all of you." Once again, we have done as the Lord has ordained. The scripture says that when they had sung a hymn, they went out. I'm fairly certain they did not sing "For All the Saints," but we're going to. So would you stand and we'll sing together. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen.